In the meantime, I'm going to bring in a gentleman who's no stranger to these parts. His Belmont Bruins defeated the Florida Gulf Coast squad earlier in the week in the Atlantic Sun Men's Championship. And Coach Rick Bird, I ask you today, does it ever get old, as I say congratulations to you, going to the big dance? Does it ever get old, Coach?
Absolutely not. You're fortunate, blessed, whatever word you want to use to have the opportunity when you're in a, you know, basically a one-bid league. And it's tough. It's tough to win those games. You guys have watched all week, the last 2 weeks, and saw good teams fall by the wayside, teams that have dominated their league, won their league outright. Middle Tennessee State right over here is a great example, a really good team, really good team. And they're not going to play in the tournament. And so you have to earn it. And it feels good. There's a lot of relief, especially when you're picked to win. But there's a lot of relief at the end and joy mixed in.
You know, there's two sides to that coin, too, because my heart breaks for those middle kids, those kids from Drexel. You know, you go out and you go 26-2. And I don't know how you can possibly do more as a basketball team than that. They had that long winning streak. I guess it was the longest winning streak in the country. And they go out and get beat. And now they're saying that they're probably on the outside looking in because of who they scheduled non-conference. You know, I'm looking at your schedule non-conference. You guys have stepped it up. You played Duke this year. You went there. You lost by a point, which is a great basketball game, by the way, earlier in the year. Then you turn around, you play Memphis back on November 15. You played that tough Middle Tennessee State team you're talking about. You guys beat them. I mean, I'm looking at your non-league schedule, Coach. And
we played Middle twice on the road, actually, because the first time was part of that Maui Classic where we played Duke and Memphis, and then we had a regularly scheduled game at their place. And we played a good Marshall team home and away in the same year, and we've never shied away from it, and you gotta have, I guess, some perspective. Until our season a year ago, there was no reason for us to even think about that it matters about who you schedule.
Right.
Until we were 30, you know, if we'd lost our championship game a year ago, we'd have been very much in the Drexel situation. We would have been 29-5. And our only losses having been twice at Tennessee, and at Vanderbilt, and then at Lipscomb, our big rivalry game, and then the championship game of our league. So, and the other part of that whole equation, it's very difficult for us to schedule. It is hard to find games.
Yep.
Right now, it's hard to get people to play us, and certainly hard to get people to come to Nashville and play us. So. We're trying hard to have a good quality schedule, but there's some good quality teams that simply won't play.
Won't even play if you say go on the road 2-for-1, 3-for-1. I mean, how are you having to work these deals, Coach?
Yeah, we've never really done a 3-for-1. I'd just as soon actually just go get the games on the road that we need to. We might do that. But even then, the ones that your fans would be excited about seeing at home, they won't do that. You think Kentucky's going to do a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1, or even Tennessee? Tennessee comes here and plays. They're going to want to play downtown so they can get more of their fans. They played at Middle a few years ago. Middle's place holds more than we do. We've got 5,000 people. Our fans would buy those up in a second, and Tennessee really couldn't get any of their folks in to speak of. And so it's difficult to bring some. If we bring, I don't want to name a school, but you can figure one out.
Sure.
An SEC team in here that's not a name like we're talking about. It's not Vanderbilt or it's not Tennessee or Kentucky or Florida. It may not be any more exciting to them than our series with Middle or Tennessee State or anybody else.
And it can't hurt you, though. It's got to help your program. And as you were saying before, the catch you're in there is there's really not much in it for the big boys to play you. You
right.
beat them. You beat them, and you know they're gonna hear about it and feel it all year.
Right.
They beat you, and it's what's expected.
You know, I'll tell you a good example of how that can change eventually. Butler, for a long time, was in the spot where there was nothing in it for the people that played him. And then they go, obviously, amazing runs to the finals 2 years in a row. And then all of a sudden, those people will play him because it's an acceptable loss. They're a national finalist, you know. And now it's good to have Butler come to your place and play. I think Vanderbilt's going to start a series with them. They wouldn't have started that same kind of series 5 or 6 years ago. And so you have to read. Gonzaga is to that point. If you play home and home with Gonzaga, that's a good schedule. Tennessee played them, didn't they? Maybe
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Yeah, and that was perfectly acceptable for Tennessee,
yep.
And their fans were excited that Gonzaga was coming. And Belmont's not there. It'd be great if we could get there someday, but we're not there. There's a lot of mid-majors. Well, I hope not a whole lot, but there's several that are in our spot that just have a hard time. They have a hard time playing people above them, have a hard time scheduling people below them.
It's really interesting because you have to make your own schedule.
Yep.
And you know what? Some coaches at the big schools make an attempt to play as many teams like yours as they can, really for the good of the game, and then they want to toughen their team up as well, but I would imagine getting them to come to your building has got to be nearly impossible.
Yep.
Because you don't the gate money's not going to be there, right? I mean, because it's just you're playing in a smaller
right.
gym, plus
5,000 seats.
Plus,
they're not going to come here if they have a choice. I mean, if I had a real close personal friend, you know, a lot of times they'll do it for people that were on their staff,
right,
to help their program and that
right.
sort of thing. I haven't been on anybody's staff in about 30 years, so they're not around anymore. And it's just, you know, and at Vanderbilt came and to open the gym,
mm-hmm.
8 or 9, 10 years ago, however
mm-hmm.
long it was. And Kevin and I are good friends, but it was half over Kevin's dead body that they came. They did it as an institutional favor. And it's just, you know, you're right. There's nothing good in it for those folks. And we can find plenty of guarantee games. We'll have no problem finding our two guarantee games next year. In fact, I think we're going to play at Stanford.
Wow.
On the way to the Great Alaska Shootout and playing that. But we got to find tournaments like that where we get our games in and at least get some neutral games.
And you know what? When I look at your schedule and I see Duke, Memphis, that's impressive, you know, on the front end. And it gives you an opportunity. And, you know, you absorb a couple of losses there, but it wasn't like, you know, a one-point loss to Duke. That's nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
And then the Memphis game was close late. And
you know, the Memphis game was, that was their first game. They couldn't have been more fired up about a game. And I'm still not sure it isn't the best game they've played all year. They had guys making shots they hadn't made them since, you know. And that's not an excuse. They outplayed us and deserved to win. But we didn't. So, one of the sayings in coaching is it's not who you play, it's when you play them.
Yeah.
And, for example, nobody wants to hear be reminded of this in Knoxville, but if Austin Peay came to play Tennessee right now, it wouldn't resemble the first time.
I don't think so.
It's not who you play sometimes, it's when you catch
right.
them.
And here's another thing with you guys, Selection Sunday. You know, you could be sitting there 1 year, and obviously, your league, year in and year out, has been a one-bid league. Now,
sure.
Eventually, if you can raise the profile of your program like you were talking about to the point where you get in that conversation to get the benefit of the doubt, sort of like, I don't know, the VCU, the Drexel,
yep.
the league those guys are in now, you know, those guys have had some runs, and then they're...
Right. The Missouri Valley.
Missouri Valley, it's another one.
The Colonial, those two are good ones. West Coast, because of St. Mary's,
yes.
And now they've got Brigham Young and Gonzaga.
Right, they have a nice league.
That's another one.
But
below that, the league, I don't think, is any better than, ours are the OVC.
You know, though, Rick, my problem with the whole thing, though, is this criteria is always sliding. These guys are always moving the cheese. One year I hear it's the last 10, then it's not. Then it's the RPI, then it's not.
Yep.
Then it's non-conference, then it's not. Then it's the strength of your league, then it's not. One year it's the Pomeroy thing, then it's not. I mean, and who in the world knows?
I don't think that they allow the Pomeroy or the Sagarin. We're actually 22nd in the country in the Pomeroy.
There you go.
I don't think we're 22nd in the country.
Right.
Let me say that quickly.
Right.
But the reason that we're so high there is that we win some games by some unusual margins,
mm-hmm.
and that's an entirely a point differential
mm-hmm.
thing, and for good reason. Even if that's more accurate, even if we all agreed that's more accurate than the RPI. They can't start allowing point differential equations into the thing because college coaches would know that's what it's about.
Oh, they murder each other.
Yeah, they'd start beating people by 40 and 50 when they could. And that, nobody needs or wants that. So that's a tough one. Almost anybody would tell you that the ones based on point differential are more accurate than the RPI, but they can't afford to go there. But you're right. We don't know. And the other thing that's complete. Let's just say, for the sake of this discussion, we're comparing us with Tennessee. We don't have nearly the chance to have the number of quality wins that Tennessee has because they play 16 or 18 SEC games, half of them at home and half of them on the road. We play Duke and Memphis, both of them on the road, And who knows what we would have done in that? And if we were an SEC team, knew we were an SEC team, played that schedule, who knows is the right question. Nobody knows. And so it's apples and oranges when you start comparing teams from the major conferences to the teams that play in a league like ours. It's almost impossible to evaluate two teams against one another.
And somebody has to do that, you know, behind closed doors this weekend. And I don't envy them.
No.
And here's the thing. And you know, even within the Glamour Leagues, Phil Martelli, buddy of mine up there at St. Joe's, kind of in the same boat you are, he's told me several times away from this. He says, you know, I'd like you to sit in my office when we're talking with the big boys about filling a schedule out and trying to get a big boy, because Jerry Green consented several years ago to come up there and bring his team into their little bandbox gym that they have up there, and he was so glad for it. They got a home-and-home series out of it. But he said, you know, at the end of the day, we can't, even though we're in a higher mid-major league, we're still in a mid-major league, and it's impossible for us. But here's what he maintains. He says, even at that, among the big boy leagues, like the Southeastern Conference to the Big East, there's a caste system. They're talking about taking 10 Big East teams this year.
Yep.
Now, I realize they have half the free world in their league. But, Coach, if you finish 10th in a league, do you think you're an at-large basketball team that belongs in the championship? I mean, do you think that?
If I was number 10, I probably would hope so, but I get you, and it's, again, how do you compare the strengths of the leagues? I don't have a good answer. You're right. They've got a whole bunch of teams, and we know that they've got a whole bunch of traditional college powers in there. When you look at all of a sudden one year in Villanova and Pittsburgh aren't even in the discussion.
That's odd.
So they've got an interesting league, and I know that folks like Seton Hall and South Florida, I heard you talking about them before I came on, I wonder what we'd be thinking though if those two teams were Pittsburgh and Villanova instead. We're just used to them being good, and we're not used to Seton Hall and South Florida being good, so can they be as good as deserving? It'd be neat to be on that committee someday,
mm-hmm.
but I also don't envy their task.
Well, let me ask you this, a veteran coach, and you talk to your coaches, and this to some degree is how you guys are defined, how many times you've been to the tourney. That's how you're defined.
Exactly.
And it's for better or for worse, and somebody else holds a key over that because there are only so many conference champions. And so they're doing some guys big favors. They're going to make some people rich this weekend by who they put in and who they don't. So let me ask you this. Jerry Palm, who will be with me tomorrow, who's one of these bracketology guys, he tells me with a straight face that they do not look at the team name next to the team when it comes to who gets in and who doesn't. They look at record only, they look at qualifications only, and they do not make matchups accordingly. He says they do not consider what league you're in. He said it's a fact. Do you believe that?
Do you mean they actually put people on the board and they just don't put the name of school on there and they list the criteria and they talk about them that way?
Well, he says essentially, now of course they do know who they're talking about, so it isn't like a blind draw kind of thing.
You know, because sometimes the ESPN or CBS will put up, you know, they'll put up two teams and they'll list RPI and strength of schedule and last 10 and all the things you talked about.
Right.
And they won't put the name up there and and ask you which one ought to get in.
Right.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Because then you say to yourself, well, wait a second, they belong and they don't. And then you look at it and you go, well, no, that's not true.
Yeah, then you see that it's South Florida and,
right.
And you're kicking out Notre Dame or whatever.
Right, exactly. But let me ask you this, for you guys, for your sake, your next steps to get in one of these things and win. You've scared some people here through the years. The longer you go, the more you go back. I mean, the odds are, Coach, sooner or later, you're going to get a matchup. You're going to beat somebody here.
Well, I think, I don't know if it has to do with mathematical odds as much as it is that just we know in sports history that the more often you knock on the door, the more comfortable you become. I often compare it with golf. A lot of guys have to lose and even have to blow some leads in majors before they feel like they can really win it and are supposed to win it. And I think you see the same thing. I think, again, to use Butler as an example, they started getting there, then they started winning one or two. And then the last few years when they went, they felt like they belonged, and they felt like they went into an NCAA tournament game like they go into their Horizon League game, like they expect to win. And that's,
yes.
I've been talking to our team about that. We expect to win Atlantic Sun games. In fact, we've won 41 of our last 44.
Mm.
And so we need to have that kind of thought process and that kind of confidence about the next game, or we're lessening our chance of winning that game.
Do you feel, with this team you have right now, do you feel capable next week?
I do feel capable, and I'd be crazy to say that we ought to be favored against who. We don't know who it is,
right.
Obviously, but whoever it is, we're not going to be favored.
Right.
Those guys... we'll have a roster full of guys that wouldn't have come to Belmont, and we'll have a roster full that they wouldn't have recruited.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disparity in the talent, but we've got experience. We've got guys that have been there. We're used to winning games in a pretty high percentage over the last 2 years. We've got a system, and I think all those things have value to them above and beyond the roster and the talent there. So I do think we can win the game. And, we could have beaten Wisconsin last year.
Yes.
And we caught a team bouncing back from a bad performance, and they were hungry. People were picking us. They didn't like it. I don't blame them. And they played really well against us.
And that's the deal. The deal is the conditions have to be right.
Yep.
That other team, like the year ETSU beat Arizona, that other team has to be, for whatever reason,
yep,
just a shade off, as you were saying.
We almost, like the year we almost beat Duke.
Yep,
we,
you
we
had
didn't,
them.
We didn't catch Duke's best
That's
team
right.
or
That's
best
right.
game.
That's
I
right.
mean, you know, best game of that year by far, and we're a whisker away from winning a huge game. So, yeah, a lot of things had to fall into place, but this team is way more capable than that 08 team that played Duke. This is a better basketball team than that team is.
Hey, and one thing about you guys, I know from looking at the numbers, you're going to score some points. I mean, you're fourth in the nation, 81.5 points a game. The thing I see that concerns me is when I look at your numbers is you're 81st in America overall in rebounding, which that would concern me if you get into a game where you're not making your shots. Is that a concern of yours?
I think it's not. Yeah, and even not as much about us not making ours, but getting there, Miss, is going to be it. We have a small lineup. We play three small guards, frankly, and we could get hurt by big forwards, big wings that we have to guard with a little guy. There's going to be deficiencies for sure, but
right. You
know what? That's why we're in the Atlantic Sun and in the OVC next year, actually, and not in the SEC. If we were in the SEC, we'd have some bigger wings.
How would you guys have fared? You feel like with that Murray team this year, if you were in the OVC?
I've seen them play some, and I think if they had played our schedule, they wouldn't just have one loss, probably.
Interesting.
So I think we're comparable. We beat Tennessee State earlier in the year, and they split with them, and then won the third game in a real close game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could. They may be a better team, but I don't. On a neutral floor, I don't think it'd be much more than 3 or 4 points difference in that game going into it. I think we're there. They've had a phenomenal year. They won at Memphis. It's when you play people sometimes, and if they'd have caught them on that first game when everybody was sky high, I'm not sure they would have, but they played them later in December and they got them. That's a way long answer to a short question, but I think we can play with them.
Hey, always a pleasure, Coach, spend a few minutes with
Thanks.
You. And, hey, wonderful job again this year, and terrific job today on the show. My gosh, great talking with you.
Well, it's nice to talk to you guys, and let me say hi to however many friends I got left in Knoxville.
You got a lot of people here that love you, Coach.
I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, have a good one.
Thanks.
Rick Bird, one more time.